Welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. Gray divorce is on the rise. You might initiate it, your spouse might initiate it. Sometimes you know it's inevitable, sometimes it hits you broadside and you feel like you might drown. Or, as my guest today says, you want to climb into bed, pull the covers up over your head, and stay there forever. Pat interjects comments throughout our conversation about her life as divorce was happening to her that so many of us will identify with. I want you to take inspiration from how she pushed herself through and came out the other side. Because she did have to push herself some days, but she came out the other side with, I'd say, flying colors. Pat's marriage ended after 37 years. That's more than half a lifetime dedicated to the lifestyle. I think we'd both agree that if Pat could do it, you can do it. Listen now. There are some guests for whom I don't need to figure out how to connect their topic with our boomer demographic. Wrong glasses for reading. The theme of this podcast is That Was Then, This Is Now, Design Your Own Next Chapter. Today's guest embodies that. Little follow-up is see some of my glitches, I don't even edit out. Do you identify with Pat's story? 37 years of marriage terminated, perhaps unexpectedly, perhaps the right decision after years of agonizing. The who did what to whom may not be as impactful as finding yourself going it alone after more than half a lifetime with the same person. In her profile, it says Pat's divorce also provided a kick in the pants to deal with mental health issues such as self-image, self-worth, and imposter syndrome. Some of that might resonate with you too. What I do know is that she's come out the other side successfully. New life, new career, new book. Pat Fenner, welcome to the podcast for Boomer Women, where we are embracing the journey.
Oh, thank you. I love that embracing the journey. So that theme resonates. It's so
Yeah,
good to be.
thank that's great. Now, 37 years, as I was prepping my notes, I was thinking more about beginnings. So the innocence and excitement of starting married life, and then the wisdom and I'll say possibility when it was time to move on alone. As much as you want to share, what are your memories of those two occasions?
How long do we have, Agnes?
If we
But
go
one
too
part.
long, it'll be two episodes. That's
There you go. There you
okay.
go. Yeah, I can always remember. I always remember wanting to be married when I was young. My mom died when my birth mom died when I was six, and I started by taking care of my sister who was only a year younger than me. But I always wanted to be a mom. I always wanted to have kids. And I, so, you know, when it was, when I was getting married, I was over the moon. It was wonderful. I was so happy about it. And that lasted a long time. And I don't know if I could tell you the time when I actually started realizing that I was doing a lot of like making myself small so that the relationship could keep, you know, could last and, you know, not serving myself and oh, and I don't know how that sounds, you know, but not building myself up, not using my talents and skills or exploring new ones. And I, you know, so I don't really know, like the don't know if I could pinpoint that, but I do know that the last years of my marriage were not fulfilling, clearly not for my husband either, as he found someone else. And when he presented divorce papers, it was hard. I mean, I especially because like as a Christian woman, you know, I just assumed marriage was going to be for life, and maybe, you know, this was another tough spell we were going through, but we'll get through it like the others. And but we didn't this time, and it rocked me in a lot of different ways. I was I think it was 59 when he, you know, presented me with the divorce and said he wants a divorce and sign here on the line, and you know, we work things out to a degree. But I thought, goodness, I had been at home with raising our five kids and homeschooling them for like 30 years, at that point. And I probably even more, if I think about it anyway. And I was thinking, how am I going to support myself? So that was at first terrifying, but it became, and really honestly, like some of the stories I could tell you, boy, if we had a glass of wine and just could sit, kick back, we could be here for hours. But I really feel like, God had a lot to do with just bringing things to fruition, and I was ready to kind of move on. And so it turned, the divorce was the kick in the pants. I wouldn't have done this if it was up to me. But I guess I can say I'm glad now, that it's happened and it has changed my life.
As you were explaining how you were beginning to feel small, I just felt that there was so many women in our audience going, yeah. If
Agnes,
women do that, they're notorious for doing that.
we are. And the boomer generation, like, I think just generally speaking, we were taught that, we're going to, of course, there's exceptions. Generally speaking, we were, we were supposed to be mothers and wives and raise our kids and give everything for them. And, don't be selfish. The concept of self-care and looking after yourself, that was selfish. And yet, I spent many years trying to pour out of an empty pitcher. It didn't happen, it just
No,
doesn't.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in your first communication to me, you mentioned the good people who came into your life. That struck a chord with me. What sort of people? And obviously, you're going to maintain confidentiality and stuff like that, but what sort of people really
Well,
sort of got you going?
yeah, I had some really a couple of good friends that I hadn't kept in touch with that resurfaced, not because of the divorce, but in that time frame, and it was, beyond coincidence to me. I don't, whatever. And they really helped me. And I had some amazing counselors. Like, I really would definitely recommend anybody going through divorce, whether or not it's coming from you and your choice, your decision, to seek counseling just for the personal health and personal growth. I had some amazing counselors. And then over the course of this time, I've just met women who are primarily women, although there are a couple of really helpful men that one of them is actually a businessman, lives in Maine. I'm in Georgia. Like, there's no personal relationship there, but his part of his business is he deals with helping people discover their stories in the business world. And he that was amazing. I mean, just some of the questions he'd ask in our conversations and stuff were transformative. I mean, not I don't want to sound hyperbolic here. They were transformative. And just all the people, so those kind of people that I found here and there. And then as I started my business too, I just needed to learn more about business, and I found myself in some networking groups that have provided not only business assistance but personal, relationship friendships and stuff like that. And that was just when I needed them, just as I was ready for them. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those, when the what is it when the student's ready, the teacher appears.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Now you also mentioned time, counsel, prayer, reading, and patience. It's like, okay, I understand the time, the counsel, the prayer, the reading, and then it's patience. And I'm thinking, oh man, that's probably one of the key ones.
It is because when I don't know, but when I was first divorced, like, I wanted all the answers to everything. Like, how am I going to support myself? Where am I going to live? I did have a car, but what am I going to do, for a church? What am I going to do for friendships? Everything. Well, like, I was starting from zero because we had sold our home and I moved back to Atlanta. So I didn't have a place initially. And gray divorcees may relate to this. If you have not been working, you cannot even rent an apartment because you need, unless you have two, you need 2 years of employment history, which I didn't know at the time. I figured, well, I'm making enough with this business that I'm doing that I can get an apartment, and no, I couldn't because I didn't, it was kind of a side gig in the beginning. It became something that I needed to do to support myself, but I didn't have 2 years worth of taxes. So yeah, so working that out, and I spent a lot of time. I actually moved in with my oldest daughter, and she took care of me, kind of, like housed me, fed me, and everything for a while until I was able to just get my head together and get it straight and figure it all out. But it's a process. It definitely is. And I'm not saying I'm there, but at least I do have a roof over my head, and I do have a business, and I have a wonderful life. I'm so grateful. I wake up every morning with just so much gratitude. And I love encouraging other women that were in my situation, because I know it can feel, it just feels overwhelming and horrible when it first starts. It does, but it doesn't have to, you don't have to stay there.
As
That's
you're
kind of.
explaining that about the apartment, I mean, how many people would never ever consider that? But how daunting is that when you can't even, what do you do? Do you live in your car for 2 years? It's.
I'll tell you, I don't know what people don't, although I do know of many boomers, many of, our generation that get divorced, oftentimes they're still living in the home like that they raise their kids in, and they often get the home, which is a mixed blessing, because then you also get the debt and you're still not working. So, that's not necessarily a great thing either. But it's terrifying. I mean, for me, I admit I was very fortunate that my older daughter was established. She had, she was married. They had a home and had room for me. All my stuff was in storage. Like she didn't, it wasn't home base, but she was very, the two of them, my son-in-law is an angel. I love him too. And they were very gracious. Let me stay there. And I'll tell you, if I can tell the story of how I got my place. Do you want to hear this? You want to
Yeah,
hear a
of course I
story?
do.
So one of the things I'd done in the years preceding our divorce was taking care of my father-in-law. He was my father-in-law and my mother-in-law. Now my th her his parents, my ex's husband, my ex's parents were divorced, and the father-in-law lived with us, and then my mother-in-law was like in an independent living in the same community. So, I guess I took care of him for the last 2 years of my father-in-law's life, and I would not have changed that. I mean, my in-laws were almost more like my parents to me towards the end anyway. They lived, we were just so close in proximity, and then that became, personally. And my father-in-law had a nice retirement package and inheritance thing that he was going to pass on to my ex and his brother. Well, he was very he was very grateful that I, in his perspective, gave everything up, to take care of him. And before he died, he'd split his inherit the inheritance up three ways, so that I would have a part of it, just for me, like not co-ownership with my ex, just for me. And so when he died, I got that money, and I'll tell you, when I was first divorced, I couldn't even think about, it didn't even dawn on me, well, hey, use that money. All I could think of was, I can't even rent an apartment, So, but after a couple of months, after things settled down, I realized that I had enough money to not only put a down payment on, but I found a townhome, a townhouse that I could afford and put cash and buy it outright. So I did that. And so I call it my little dollhouse, because it's a small little town home, but it's mine. I have no house payment. I do have, property tax, but we all do that, right? And and so I got my home from my father-in-law, my ex-father-in-law, I guess, whatever. And it was really, I'm very fortunate. That doesn't happen to a lot of people I know.
Well, and just going back to that generation, because I deal with, I've done elder care, that was my career, is they sometimes see the writing on the wall before you ever do. And oftentimes it's not unusual to sort of think, you know, could they ever split up or keep on the in-law instead of the child? You know, and I mean, you say that in jest, some I've said it in
I've
jest.
said it, yes.
But yeah, so who knows, maybe he did sort of just know in his wisdom.
Well, he had been divorced actually twice, and so I think he had an idea of what things look like, on the road to that. And he may have, I don't know. He never said anything to me about it. We never talked about it. But it was, I was very grateful.
Now, in my intro, I used your words about self-image, self-worth, and imposter syndrome. You've already really quickly touched on, and so many women will agree about, you can't pour from an empty jug, which really, to me, think t talks to self-image and self-worth. Can you go there? Just.
You just don't, it's so easy to, or at least it was easy for me to be very encouraging of other people and look at all that you can do, and you are so, and then list out people's good qualities. I can give grace till the cows come home to other people, but not to me, and connected with that self-image and self-worth, that imposter the theory
Syndrome,
or
yeah.
the syndrome, thank you, and really reared its ugly head with my business, because it when I moved back to Atlanta, I'm a podcast producer, and I started my business during the pandemic. Everything was remote. I record and edit and do everything remote. I can go an entire day in my office and not see physically another soul. And so when I moved here, and after the divorce, and my older daughter was like, "Mom, you need to get out. This is not healthy. Like, I know you talk to people and all that stuff, but you need to have interactions with people." And I was like, "Oh." How the have turned, right? And so I joined a networking group, and they're very kind of strict on attendance, which it makes sense. If you're not there, how can you network with people? And but I walked into the room that I will never forget that first time, and in my head I'm thinking, these are people in business suits and people that have been in business for years, and they know what they're doing and all this stuff, and who am I to say I have a business and you should work with me? Like, oh, I felt totally out of place. And as time went on and I got to actually spend time with these people and talk to them and hear their stories, I realized some of them, there were a couple of people that were in the same boat I was. There were other people that were here like for their company. They didn't even have a business, so they weren't looking at me. They were like, "Wow, you have a business?" They were looking at me. And so there were so all these permutations, and I was putting everybody in the box that up here, and then there's me, little me. So we really do a number on ourselves, and that all, ties in with the self-image and with the self, what we think about ourselves and our what we can do and our skills and abilities. And no, I'm a smart woman now. This is, years later, I realize I'm a smart woman. I can learn things. If I don't know something, I learn what I need to know, and I learn where I can go for that help. And I have just as much a right to have a business as anybody else would. That does.
Right. Now, I just want to address that networking group because a while ago, I interviewed a woman who deals with our demographic because she found some of those networking groups as an older woman, she was ignored. And she realized other older women were being ignored as well. So it wasn't just personal, it was the demographic. And you, it sounds like you didn't encounter a lot of that.
I did, how do I word this? I didn't let myself stay stuck. Like, I pushed myself to meet with other people. There's women, all women networking groups too that you can move into. But ageism is a thing, like, is a thing. And I know it's illegal. I know you're not supposed to, it's, there's laws, whatever, but it, whatever. It is, it's there. And I guess I just try to. I don't feel old. I mean, I'm 63. I don't mind sharing that with people. Like, I'm going to be 64 in a few months. But I don't feel that way. Every once in a while, I do with technology, though, I will admit that. When there's something new that has to happen.
I'm older than you, and I will not admit
No, good.
it.
Okay. That's fun. You do you, girl. And I just won't, I don't let myself be ignored. I find the people that I want to interact with to, and network with, and then just kind of barrel in. That's not what I did in the beginning. I mean, when I first started going to that those groups, and there was only one group that I'd go to because it took me all week to just kind of get myself to go,
Yeah,
you know?
psych yourself up. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would come home and I would like sleep in the afternoon. It just took so much energy to just get there and come back. But it got easier, and it gets easier, and also then because you're divorced, there's things you have to learn how to do on your own. So that just becomes one of them. Like now I can go to a movie by myself, and I'm so proud of this because I had such a hard time at first. I can go out to eat on my own, and I don't have to feel like I have somebody there. I can go to a park, or I can go to like a festival or whatever on my own. Of course, there are things that are more fun when you have people with you, but I don't feel like I can't do such and such because I don't have someone to do it with. Does that make sense? I don't know if that
Yeah,
makes
no,
sense.
absolutely. Because where I was going to go from the ageism thing, the ageism is one of my soapboxes. But often we do it to ourselves. It's that self-ageism too, which sounds like you were overcoming.
Yeah,
So,
but it wasn't a natural thing. It wasn't like it took a while. I mean, one of the things I talk about in my book is like, feel the feels, feel the grief, feel the anxiety, whatever you feel, feel it. But if it doesn't serve you, don't stay there. Like it does, especially, great divorce that's over the age of 50. Like without being morbid, like we don't know how much time we have left. You think, I'm not going to do that to myself. That happened in my marriage, being held back. I'm not going to do that to myself.
Okay. Every once in a while, a guest will say something, and I think, there it is. That's the podcast. And yeah, I'm not going to do that to myself. That's just, yeah, I love that. Yeah, and really, really important. So, where we're going now, perfect segue, is you are writing and rewriting your story and your life. In my notes, I have so many things in quotations because I loved your profile and your first email to me. So, you're writing and rewriting your story and your life. When did you start to realize that you could and should and would do that? Because it sounds like at the very beginning it was like, oh crap, like suddenly there was this big gaping hole
Right.
because,
Let's see. I think, well, yes, it was a gradual process. I mean, not yes, it was a gradual process. And I think what happened early on, what I started doing on my phone was writing in the morning a list of three things that I was grateful for. And in the beginning, it's funny if you look back at them. And the reason I did it on my phone, I like to journal, but I always have my phone with me, right? So I could do this anywhere. Okay, hold on. I lost my train of thought, but it's coming back. I can feel it. Okay, yeah, I'd heard to be grateful for these. In the beginning, it was things like hot running water, grapefruit juice. I love grapefruit juice. I'm thankful for that. Like really simple things. And now it's just like I write paragraphs of things I'm grateful for. And I think that's what got me understanding that I was able to rewrite my story was looking as I would go back periodically and I'd look at some of the things I was grateful for. And then they started including like situations that I felt I didn't really set up, but look how it helped me. And people that I didn't meet intentionally that were kind of came across my path. And activities that either I was invited to or I happened to be in. And what came out of them, whether it was a person or a connection or a networking, ability or something, a job. And I started realizing, the more I'm open to these things and the more I practiced gratitude, the more I was aware of things happening to me that I was grateful for that were working for me. And I thought, this is just, this to me was beyond journaling because I was being intentional. It wasn't just like dumping my thoughts and reactions and feelings or whatever. It was keeping a list, a running list of specific things that that brought me, joy, or that served me or helped me along, or that were positive in my life. And I started realizing, that look what's happening to me. Like, it was really kind of, it was wild how seeing those things, and it just kind of snowballed. And it still does. I still do it. I think this is my third year I'm on. And if I miss a day or two, then I'll write. My goal was always three things a day, right? So if I miss a day or two, then I'll write six or nine things, and I'll just be. And it's not really being legalistic. It's still like, Pat, okay, you didn't write these down yesterday, but good things happened to you. So let's replay it, and it's fun. It's like a game I'm having with myself now.
Well, it's interesting. I've been doing gratitude for years, and I always say to people, start with the obvious, and I still
Yeah.
do it. Thank you for the green light. Thank you for this cup of coffee in the morning. I
Oh,
love my morning coffee.
me
But
too. That's
then,
definitely worth it.
but as you're talking about journaling daily, or even that list, even if it's only three things a day, the other advantage to that is how many times will you ask a person, well, what have you learned lately, or what are you good at? And they go, well, nothing, like it's just blah. But when you've got a list, you go back and, well, oh my goodness. So, like last February, I decided I was going to learn how to do that. I was going to, and I did that. Now I'm doing this. And look at, I tech used to entail in, what's the word? intimidate. There we go. Intimidate me, and now I'm managing. So you have got a list of things you've accomplished, things you can do, things that are good about your life, and yeah, it's just so important.
And it's so empowering. It like gets you know that saying that life happens for you, not to you. And when, for me at least, when I was first divorced, I was definitely feel like life was happening to me. Like everything was going wrong. And there was just no end in, I'd rather spend the day curled up in bed with the blankets over my head, right? But the more you focus on, like, that's not, I don't want to stay there. I didn't want to stay there. I got to a point where I realized, like, I don't want the end of my life to be like this, So,
Well,
I
and as
don't
you
know.
said earlier, 57 or whatever it was when this happened, is, you may only have 10 years left, but by the same token, you might have 40 or 50 years left.
Yeah.
So do you want to spend, it's one thing to spend the next 10 years in life. Well, I guess if you did spend it in bed with blankets over your head, you would be gone in 10 years. But, on the off chance that that body's going to hang on, do you really want to be doing that for 30, 40, maybe even 50 years? So yeah.
And the other thing with that too is I've got five kids. I want to inspire them. Like, I know, like, I made mistakes. We all make mistakes, right, over the years, but that's not how I want them to remember me. Oh, remember mom? Yeah, that was last after that divorce, she just never got back to herself. Like, no, I don't want them saying that about me. So it's kind of selfish too, but I don't care. It inspired me, so yeah.
Well, the thing is I don't think you're being selfish in the least, because you're also setting an example. Because we all have adversity. Their adversity may not be divorce, but there could
Right.
be something else. It could be a job loss, it could be whatever. But it's like, okay, mom found a way after 37 years.
Yeah.
How do I find my way? Okay, I don't really want to go to the negative, but obviously we're talking gray divorce. What were some of your biggest hurdles besides getting out of
Yeah, that after that one.
bed?
Well, definitely a very big one was identity, because after, like, I had been married for 37 years, but I'd known him for like 3 years before that. I knew him way more than half my life, and had always been we were always it was always us, and now it's me. And like, as I mentioned, he's already moved on and has another relationship with a partner, and I don't. So it's like, okay, now I have, who am I? And figuring out who I am and the things that I like, as opposed to the things that I liked because we either liked them together or did them together, but there was some connection with him. Or, maybe I liked him just because he liked him and I just went along for the ride, kind of thing, So figuring out who I was as a solo person, and then trying to keep, what's the word I want? Trying to keep exploring what I want to do and who I am, like moving forward. How do I discover things that I like at 60? Like, I didn't even know how to go about starting that. When you're young and like you're in college, or at least when I was, back then, it's like, I'd have friends in school, meet somebody in English class, and they like to kayak, and, oh no, I've never been kayaking, let's go next weekend. Like, you just automatically try things. And then when you're older, and you spoke to this point earlier about how we do the ageism to ourselves, and there are things that, I have friends and they're like, oh, try this, and no, I'm too old for that. Nah, so
Yeah.
we limit ourselves.
Slippery slope.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because the bottom of that slope is you're not doing anything new. And that's,
You're
you don't want
in
to
the
get
mud.
there. Yeah. Yep. So,
What I was going to say is, you were doing that because you had to. You were now single. This is a fact. But I'm thinking that a lot of married women who will stay married also need to really think about who they are. They need to have their own identity, not just wife, mother, employee, possibly daughter, because they're taking care of their parents again. They need
Right.
to know who they are because they knew that prior to getting married. They had really definite ideas about who they were, but it
Right.
just all seems to sort of meld together, and I don't think that that's completely healthy.
I don't either. I know some people who are very, I have some women friends who are very religious, and they feel like, well, this is what, God made me to be a wife. Well, maybe he did, but he made you before you were married. Like, there's got to be more there. And the other thing too is with us boomers, like a lot of times, men are going to die. Not always, but the statistics, right? Show that men are
Statistics,
gonna,
yeah.
yeah. So very often you might even if you have a good marriage, right? But as you get older, your husband may die before you. And then what? What happens then? And so and plus, and even though I'm saying this from a divorced woman's standpoint, I am going to go out on a limb and say this, that when you know yourself, when you take the time to develop skills, when you have, Tuesday night with the girls, go out to eat or for drinks or something, when you have your own things, it makes you a more interesting person and a better person for the relationship. And the reason I know that is because I didn't have that. And so, I probably wasn't much fun to be around, because just I, you know, I, it was everything was for my ex. Like, I put and I, I can't totally throw that on him. That's, I'm not, can't blame him for that. But knowing, having your own things, having, a part of life that's something that you enjoy, that builds you up, does make you a better spouse and better prepared for it. Just getting older is, it happens, and you lose your spouse, and then you're starting from square one, maybe at even a later age, than I did. So that makes it harder the older you get, honestly.
Well, and perhaps too, I went to married women, but also, like who is going to be positive that in 2, 3, 5 years their spouse isn't going to come to them and say, I need something else. And if the woman is already finding a few things that are hers, that's going to shorten her curve into single life than perhaps you encountered,
Yes.
because it sort of came out of nowhere and you had been the devoted homebody. So many reasons to
Yeah.
make sure you've got something that's yours in your life.
Yeah. And it's funny, I did start doing, I started, as I mentioned, I homeschooled our kids, and probably, I don't know, about 6 years ago, or I lose track of time, a bunch of years ago, I co-hosted a podcast about home education with another homeschool mom who lives actually still lives in Canada. It was so cool. We got to meet each other online and start talking, and we started doing this podcast. But I was the one who did like the tech stuff, which was a learning curve, of course, but
Yeah.
that's okay. It was fun. And we did that for a couple of years. Then she had stuff going on in her life. She's like, I can't do this anymore. And I was like, that's fine. And then when I realized that I was going to have to support myself, and I had no, I had these nightmares that I was going to be a greeter at Walmart. I was thinking, who's gonna hire me? Like I don't have any marketable skills, right? I haven't done anything in the business arena, so who's gonna hire me? And I had a friend of mine who was a business coach, and she said, well, have you ever thought about doing podcasting for businesses? Like you could do all the tech stuff. And I thought, and she said, you can charge for that. Podcasting is not up and coming. And I knew, obviously, I knew a podcast where we'd been doing one, but I never thought of turning it into a form of income. And she's like, yeah. And then we had a friend, both of us, a friend of both of us, we both knew. And she was a podcast coach, young lady. She had young kids at home, absolutely loved her. And she would work people through her program and then tell them, okay, now you need to go work with Pat. And that was my client source. So
Wow.
when I needed the income, what ended up happening was I had a business. It came out of something. I never would have thought of doing what I do now back then. Like it just didn't occur to me. And but when, like you said, when the student's ready, right? And so I guess it all worked out, and it's the podcast community's been wonderful to me. People I've met, some of them know my story, some of them don't, but they all like we have relationships on our own terms, and it's been so good. It's been so
Yeah, that's great. And yeah, I can't say enough about podcasting either. Now, I will interject here about that Walmart greeter. As a podcast, no, as a podcast host who talks to people all the time, I think that's the perfect retirement job because you get to talk to everybody with no strings attached.
That's a good point, Agnes. You're right. You're right. I was, yes. Okay. I stand corrected.
No, I just meant though that it's one of the jobs that I thought, if and when I ever retire, maybe I'll apply to Walmart.
That is a perfect example, about how and why mindset is so important, right? I mean, I'm looking at it, it's the same job we're talking about, and I'm looking at it like, oh Lord, no, please don't. Right? And you're like, yeah, I can get into that. And it's just your approach, your attitude about it. That's all. It's the same job. So that's fine. I hope you get what you want someday.
See, the thing is that retirement's not on my horizon, so I don't know. I may never be a Walmart host or greeter.
I'll tell you, I'm with you. I hope I like the I heard a phrase recently, job optional. I want a job optional lifestyle, but because I don't want to like, I don't, job is to me is like a four letter word. I don't have to check in,
Yeah,
and all that
no,
stuff.
yeah.
But I can't imagine retiring as in like just sit on the rocker on the front porch. You know what I mean? I will always be.
I will lend you my phrase. This granny is off her rocker.
I want a t-shirt.
Exactly. With purple
That's
hair,
good.
great clothes. Yeah, this granny's off her rocker.
Yes. That's terrific. Wow, that's great.
Oh dear. Okay, so back to the topic at hand.
Yeah, sorry,
I
we
want to
digress.
no, that's what conversations do. That's perfect. Friends. Now they're a fragile area. Sometimes they're his friends and sometimes they're yours, and ne'er the twain shall meet. But after decades of marriage, a lot of friends are couple friends. Now you, I don't know when you moved, but you moved, so that sort of took care of part of that. But do you have any advice around couple friends?
Yeah, that's a hard one because honestly, we only had a handful of them, and they were from way back. His job took traveled. His job resulted or needed him to be on the road a lot in the end years. So, like in 2008, probably from 2008 on, he was traveling a lot. So we did not really have very many couple friends. The ones that we did from way back, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I still keep in touch with people. We don't talk about him, so I don't know if they're friends with him or not. And I don't, and you know, because I don't talk about him, they don't bring him up, you know. So that is a that's a tricky thing. I don't really know how to navigate that. The one thing I will say is, because I had moved, and so I was in a whole new area, and I was in a business that, when I was starting to develop it, he didn't even want to know about it. Like he knew I was doing podcasting, but it was online. He was like, I don't care. I don't want to. So he had nothing to do with it, and never knew anybody that I knew, and I was living in a new area and stuff. So I started friendships from scratch. So most of my friends don't even know his name because I don't talk to him. But I will say that it was encouraging to for me to meet people and to make friends on my own because there was no I don't know, sometimes you get that, oh poor Pat, you know, oh poor, I'm so sorry for your divorce. These people didn't know. They don't know my story unless I choose to share it with them, and I don't share it with people lightly, you know, right off the bat. And so they liked me on my terms, and that's very empowering. Like they liked who I was. They didn't like me because they were friends of my husband, and so we were friends together, you know. So I can't give much, I can't speak much to how to deal with, you know, the friends of a couple, your couple friends. But I will encourage women to go out there and make some friends on your own, brand new, from scratch, you know. And start and you know and enjoy life with that, you know. Don't lead with your loss. Don't start out by saying, you know, I was divorced after 37 years of marriage, and my, you know what, like, don't start with that. Just be who you are.
I will interject here too from my own experience, because my husband also, former husband also traveled, is that a lot of our friends, it was the women that kept up the
Yeah.
communication and the friendship.
Yes.
So after we separated, they knew, but our kids were also friends, you know, so there was no way I was going to badmouth the guy.
Right.
And in fact, he did actually say to me several years later, you know, whenever I bump into so and so, they're always really friendly. And I didn't expect that. So you've obviously not said anything bad about me. And he appreciated that.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I, you know, as I say, sometimes that's just the easiest way is, you know, whether it's heartbreak or anger or whatever, don't share it with the couple friends, maybe.
Yeah,
And also
no, well,
sharing
that's
it. Sharing too much of it anyways, just it starts to fester even more. You know, you go
yeah.
on the poor me ride with your friends. But
Yeah, I will say, yeah, not, this isn't really friends, but my two youngest kids, well, my youngest daughter was around at the house at the end of our marriage, and saw and heard, was witness to a lot of things that I wish she hadn't been. And she was very close. My three youngest kids are really tight, and she was very close to her brothers. And so, you know, she kind of processed things, you know, vented to them and everything. So they probably know more than they need to know, just because she lived through it. And that is a regret I have. But you have to also say though that my adult kids were very helpful, you know, and even though they know more than I wish they did about their dad, it helped me get through. And And they all have their own relationship with him, and it's not really I it's nothing that I try to get in the middle of. It's not my business. They're adults. They're,
Interesting, the very next thing on my notes is adult children, because as adults, they're going to make their own decisions based on their own perceptions and biases. They can't be sort of cuddled along like a smaller child could be. So that could probably go either way.
Yes, it could. And even in, with five kids, it's probably gone. It's gone both ways in my family. Because even though, none of the kids were, well, except the youngest one, none of them were living at home anymore. The others were, and we weren't living in the home that they grew up in, that any of them had grown up in. We had moved. So there wasn't that, wanting to come home and having everything the same. Like, there wasn't any of that there. But, we all have issues periodically or from time to time with our parents, right? And so, they had issues with him that kind of they reared their ugly head with the divorce. When they saw how I was struggling, it kind of brought things up. And so that's really hard. And the thing is, too, there's not many, or what I found, there's not many resources for adult kids of divorce. And what I mean is, who are adults when their parents divorce. There's a lot for how to talk to younger kids about divorce, and then what happens to your kids when they get older. But as adult children, or people who are adults when their parents divorce, there's really not that many, there's not many resources and stuff for them. And it was, you're kind of, tiptoeing on eggshells sometimes, and in the thick of things, trying to figure it out.
Well, near the beginning, when we first started talking, you were saying that you really encouraged women in divorce to go to therapy, some sort of a therapist, some sort of help. So maybe that advice needs to go to adult children too, to have that external third party with professional training help them sort out their own feelings, issues, whatever.
And I would say, and this is especially, yes, I would agree with you on that. But I would say this especially to the to women. I know that funds often feel, tighter, stricter. You don't free, feel as free as mo with money when you're first divorced. But I would say we all find money for things that we really want, right? And I think when you are first divorced, you may not want it, but you really do need, you need counseling. I don't care. Even if it was like, even if the woman start, initiated it, right, and presented the divorce papers and so I can't live like this anymore. There's still issues we all have when you are breaking a marriage, a union that's been together for a long time, there are going to be issues. And it is worth it to pay for, coaching, counseling, whatever, you can, whoever you can find that you can trust, even if it costs a little bit more. Like, I'm still in counseling. I only see her like once a month, but there's always things that come up, or things that you just need a different perspective on, and I will probably be in counseling for a long time, because she's every time I think, okay, this is going to be the last one, I don't need this anymore, this is an expense, and then something comes up and it's like, I'm so glad I have you.
Oh dear. Okay, so there's a book out there called Rebuilding Your Life After a Gray Divorce: A Path to Healing, Significance, and Joy. What made you decide to write a book?
Do you know? I was going to say, yeah, and I know the author to that. It just, I didn't start out writing it, and I didn't start out wanting to write it either. But I reached a point where I really felt like there had been so many, people and situations and events and tools and strategies and ideas and, books that I came across, or, podcasts I heard or whatever, that helped me through and heal after my divorce, that I felt like I really needed slash wanted to pay it forward. And so I reached a point where I just started like pulling things together, and jotting down in a notebook like what I did, or this helped me, or here, when I, just different things. And then I started realizing, I mean, this isn't, it's not a thick book, but it occurred to me that if I was like this, there would be at least one other person like this. When I was first divorced, I didn't know like even how to get started. Like, what do I do with this? And if somebody had given me this a big book with, okay, try to do this and then do this and then do this, and it went on and on, I would have tossed it aside. I needed short things to try because not everybody's journey is different. Not everything works for everybody. But sometimes you just don't even know what to try. And so I needed things to try. And so I just put all this together and thought, this is, if it helps one person, it was worth it. And so I think there's been probably more than one person who's come back to me and said it's been helpful. And I'm real excited because I'm working on a journal for it. And it's a, it accompanies it, but you don't have to have the book to work through it. But it's just a, it's a creative endeavor that that can help people also rebuild their lives. So it really is, it's rebuilding can sound very like, oh my gosh, it can sound like a big endeavor, but there's also opportunity. Like you get to rebuild it. You get to decide. And you can do a two story or a one story. Are you going to have a front porch or a back porch? Is it going to be screened in or windows? How many bedrooms do you like? You get to do all of it.
Well, when you started talking about building, I was thinking, think about it as building your dream home. It's the sky's the limit. And
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. So, and I was married, but my ex-husband was a in construction. He was a carpenter, he was a home builder. So yeah, the rebuilding comes like kind of naturally me. I spent most of my life in that.
Oh dear. I'm going to ask you about your business in a minute, but you also have a podcast. Well, you've talked about it just quickly along the way. I love the title, Silver Women, Bright Future, Redesigning Your Life After a Gray Divorce. Tell us about your podcast.
Yeah, and that too was just kind of, it was so I didn't have to talk to myself. I talking to myself, but I was recording it. Oh, so it's on a semi hiatus right now. I think it's been a month or two since I've put out an episode, but there's been a lot of good stuff happening, and I can't wait to catch all my listeners up to it. But it really is like my favorite thing to do is sit over a cup of coffee and like and have a conversation like with you. This is awesome. My only regret is I didn't have time to pour a cup of coffee, but that's okay. I've got my bottle of water.
We can come back later in the day with a glass of wine if you want.
Okay, that's it. I'm there for that one. And that's what, so that's the attitude I take with the show. I do have some guests on it, and I would love to have you on. You can edit that out if you want, but I would like to have you on sometime.
Yeah, no,
And
that'd be great.
yeah. And but mostly it's, it's just like, I know I'm not the be all end all, but I just want to be that encouraging friend, So that's what the show, that's what I was talking about.
Well, perhaps to what I'm hearing is, parts of your podcast, you might interview somebody and somebody's going to say, oh my God, that's, I got to listen to this. And I say the same thing about my podcast because my guests are all over the map and I'm in my sixth season, is will a boomer woman come along and want to listen to each and every episode? Probably not. But
Right.
she's going to go, oh, I want to listen to this one and go down. Oh, that one sounds interesting. So they can pick and choose.
Yeah.
And, so I'm the one that benefits because I get to talk to all of these people.
That's right.
But hopefully listeners will just find something of interest to, like everybody will find something.
Right. Right. Yeah. You never know what people are gonna need to hear at a certain time or whatever, or so you just throw it out there. And because really it's just, I don't look at it. I know that there are people who have businesses that out of their podcast and everything. And at some point I think, that might fit into my business, what is it, job optional lifestyle or whatever like that. I would love to have some kind of income from supporting women like that. I mean, just because I know, what I have to say is worth it. And I want to do that. Like that's where I want to my talents and skills to go, but I also have to pay the light bill, so
Yeah. Well,
And a friend of mine says, yeah, and I have this thing like, I want to live in a house and eat food. I know it's so selfish of me, but
I call it a pesky habit called eating.
there you go.
Oh dear. I
Oh,
won't at this point in time, I will not discuss my outro because this is the first time I've put something extra into my outro, so it doesn't matter. Okay, so now you have recreated yourself. I browsed, I've got your website over here on my other monitor. I will admit, I got a few ideas for myself. But tell us exactly what you do. Well, I mean, yeah, not exactly, because it sounds like it's like this big. If people could see me right now, it's like I'm holding a big bowl in my hand, and you've got this big, there's a whole bunch of ingredients in that bowl.
there are. So primarily how I, as I mentioned, pay the bills and, have food to eat, is as a podcast producer. So I help businesses, and I do exactly what I did with my homeschool show, right? I help them, run a show that, I help them with content. So I do a lot of content coaching too, and, format. We talked to them about formats and keywords, all those, that fun stuff, that text background stuff. And then help them record, and I use a tool online for them to record. So they really literally just have to pick up their laptop and hit record, and then I get it to them. And my tagline is I help them get their message from the mic to the masses, and help them with promoting and things like that. And I just absolutely love, I love what I'm doing. It's very satisfying. I really get to know my clients because, as I mentioned, we do a lot of, I do a lot of coaching. So I really find out about their business. I find out about where their passion is and where their expertise. And then, those Venn diagrams.
Yeah.
Yeah, their passion, their expertise, and what their clients need, and we
And where they
find
all
out what,
overlap.
and we figure out their show. And it's very fulfilling, and it pays the bills. And so what else can I, I can't complain.
I love segues, and this might be a good segue,
Okay.
because there's a woman in our audience today who's facing a gray divorce. It might be initiated by her, maybe by her spouse. What would you say to her to give her the fortitude to stay the course and to assure her she can and will prevail?
Okay, two things. One would be I would encourage her to learn, 'cause, or get comfortable sitting with herself and being uncomfortable. And we don't like experiencing negative feelings. We don't like not knowing either what to do, or thinking we should do something that's hard, or what happens if I fail. Like all those that we label bad are ways that we can discover what's inside us, and what really we can do. So, but you don't discover those things if you keep pushing them aside. So I'd start getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. And then how I always end my show is just the simple sign off, keep shining because the best is yet to come. And write that somewhere. Write it somewhere, put on your bathroom mirror, write it on your hand, put, I don't know, just because the best is yet to come. If you are still alive and breathing, you've still got, there's a job for you out there. And I don't mean a pay job. I mean there's something that's you're meant to do, and take the time to find it and sit with the uncomfortability to brave it out and figure out what it is, and then go get it, whatever it is.
As you were saying that, and you mentioned being your ex has moved on to another partner, you had not, I have not, and that's a choice for me. But it also occurred to me that in spending that time with yourself, finding out who you are as an individual, if another relationship should enter your life, you go into it as you, not as your ex-husband's former wife.
Right.
You know, so you're bringing a new, like your own person into another relationship.
Yes. Yeah, you know, it's funny, Agnes, because I'm alone by choice right now. I'd rather enjoy living alone, actually. I don't I'm I am I you know, my kids come by time to time, and maybe the youngest one will spend the night or whatever. And I have a son in Dallas. He's spending a weekend, a couple weeks, and that's nice. That's fun, you know. But I have a spare bedroom, and the kids keep saying, "You should rent it out." And I'm like, "I don't know. I liked living alone." And if, yeah, like you said, if somebody comes along, I don't know, they'd have to be pretty dang special. I'm not looking for it right now. But I do feel that it would be, but part of me is kind of interested or curious, because I think I know I would be so different. I know I'd be so different. And I'm kind of curious as to, well, what would I look like in a relationship? But the flip side is, I don't know if I really want one anyway right now. I'm doing fine. But there is that curiosity, you know, just, yeah.
I tend to say that I'll never say never, but
Right.
it's just not in my wheelhouse in terms of, yeah, not looking, you know, not.
And I'm not about to join a dating app for to make it happen either, so we're good.
I get these emails, you probably get them too, but I have like had three emails from separate publicity companies about the same person who's a man coaching women about dating.
Oh,
And
okay.
let's not go there. We won't go there.
Thank
Where do we
you.
find you on the World Wide Web? Let's go somewhere
Okay.
safe.
Yeah, not on that site. Okay. Ah, I just have to say ew. And then you can edit that out, but I had to get that out. Yes, I am. My website is patfenner.me. And now that they talk about podcasting there, but I do have a section for the it's called, you know, patfinder.me/gray-resources. And that's I kind of update that about with resources for women after the great divorce. And then I'm on Instagram and Facebook, Pat Fenner. And I'll send you the links, Agnes, and then you can put them, you know, in the notes. And then, of course, Rebuilding Your Life After a Great Divorce is available on Amazon, and then the podcast too is available on, you know, Apple, Spotify, all the
All the usual
places.
places. Once you're on
Yeah.
Apple, you're everywhere.
That, yeah. Right.
Now, oh yeah, and you are on social. I think you're, yeah, Instagram and Facebook and places.
Yeah, those are the two.
So it's not like our conversation hasn't been personal enough. Can I ask you a personal question before we close?
Sure. Yes.
I have one written out here, but I'm not going to ask it anymore because you've touched on it a whole bunch of times, and there's only been a handful of people that they've actually said, "How did you know that?" So, anyways, why did you take a trip to England?
Oh, how did you know that?
I lurk.
Girl. Okay, so last year, it's a sweet story. So, my younger sister, well, I have one sister. My sister had bought a trip for her daughter, who was graduating from college in 2020. You know where this is going. And you know, they had to cancel it, and it was to the UK. So it was actually England, Scotland, Ireland, you know, the whole thing. And so they obviously didn't go in 2020, and she just kept extending it. But meanwhile, her daughter, so you know, graduated, got a job, moved away, blah blah blah. Well, the tourist company called her up beginning of last year and said, "You got to take this trip, you know, or stop, you know, or cancel it." Right. So she called me up and she asked me if I wanted to go, and when and the dates of the trip were over both of our birthdays.
Perfect.
So yeah, so we went together to the it was I don't remember the last time I traveled with my sister, and then to travel overseas, and it was a dream trip. It was amazing. But you know, it was all on her. I just hadn't wouldn't have ever even thought about it going. To the it was amazing. The trip was it was wonderful.
That's
Yeah.
great, because with the podcast, I tend to get to know people because of whatever they're presenting, like whatever their topic to present is. But I do some digging around on social media. I started seeing all these pictures of England. So I went, okay, let's keep on going. Maybe she's just like this world traveler that it's never come up on her website. And then no, I'm not finding a lot of other pictures. So it's obviously England, but she really did travel around England. So like, I wonder what that connection is.
Yeah, I'm telling you though, that is one of the things I want to do in, and here's air quotes, retirement. Like, I want to travel some more. I'm going to
Like
build it into my, I do have some money that I've invested that I got from the marriage, and I want to, obviously it has to, keep me going too, but I've talked to my financial advisor, and I'm studying to become a financial advisor as well,
wow.
which is exciting because that was a big shame point for me, was that I didn't know anything about my finances. And I decided I want to help other women. I don't want other women to feel. So I want to become a female. There's a lot of men in this business, but I want to be a female financial advisor and primarily help like widows or women who've been through a great divorce because we need it. We need it.
I
Anyway.
was just going to say, when you get your credentials, you come back on podcast.
I'll call you.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
Really.
Okay, your website link is in the show notes. All of your links will be on your page at our website. Listeners, gray divorce is fairly common these days, and it's certainly on the rise. Is it a fact in your life or that of a friend? Please share your thoughts. Leave comments where you're listening, or if you're listening at boomwithabang.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and talk to us there. If there was a question or a topic that Pat and I didn't touch on, ask it in the comments, mention it in the comments, and I'll get you an answer. Share this episode. I just finished saying that gray divorce is on the rise. While there's less stigma attached these days, we can still go through the gamut of negative emotions. Sharing this conversation with Pat will open up the conversation that you or a friend need. If you appreciated this conversation, click the follow button and that helps us grow. I'm also registered at Substack. Following there is free and you get notified every time an episode is released. A reminder to check out the resource tab at boomwithabang.com. You can look up previous podcast episodes by subject. You can find books written by guests, including today's. Some interesting courses and offerings, lists of age-appropriate job and philanthropic possibilities. And if you're at all curious about the life of a house slash pet sitter, I'm journaling that journey on the website too. Pat Fenner, thank you for being my guest today and sharing your own story and then encouraging us to rewrite our next chapter. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Agnes, for the opportunity.
Have a great rest of week.
Me too.